Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. 9:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. behind the mic. I am joined by Seth Habacker.
Good morning.
We hope you're having a great start to your Friday out there. Happy Friday, everybody.
Yeah.
Hey, can't take that from us. We got a bunch of good stuff to talk about this hour. We got that ain't right story.
Take that away from me.
That ain't right stories. Good stories of the day all coming up for you. Right now, some entertainment news. We're going to wrap up our entertainment talking about your weekend, what's new on your small screen, new on your big screen, what's new on your stage possibly, what's new on your ice rink possibly. We're going to talk about all of that coming up.
Lots of fun stuff going on.
Yeah. First, I thought this was a really interesting one. Don't ever let anyone tell you watching TV is a waste of time.
Oh.
Here are six times when people were able to save lives using things they learned from watching TV.
Oh, finally. Finally, TV has its day.
Yes, yes. I thought this is an interesting list. And usually in an entertainment section, we're telling you about some new movie or something like that coming out or some going on behind the scenes. This is a little more personal in some ways, I think. Because you may have never heard of some of these, and maybe it's something that helps you later in your life or something. Or who
knows?
You
never know.
A 13-year-old autistic student saved his classmate's life by using the Heimlich maneuver he learned from SpongeBob SquarePants.
SpongeBob, once again.
Yeah, yeah.
It all comes back to SpongeBob.
That's funny. It's like the third time we've talked about SpongeBob this week.
That's
not intentional at all, but that's funny that happened.
I had no idea that they had actually demonstrated that on a cartoon show. That's actually kind of cool.
I believe that Sally had to use the Heimlich on SpongeBob, and I only know this because my kids watched it.
Oh, I'm sure.
I do believe that's, it was something like that or whatever. A man saved his daughter's life by using CPR that he learned from The Office. From The Office. That was a hilarious episode, by the way. Yeah, that. That's an interesting one.
Cool.
I remember this one. A German doctor was able to diagnose a patient with severe heart failure after watching House.
Really?
And that was a big story, I believe.
I remember at the time. Yeah, it's been a few years, but now that I think about it.
A woman from Israel got a second opinion on her cancer diagnosis because of Grey's Anatomy.
Which will apparently be running forever.
Yes, yes. So that'll be saving lives for
now they're going to use this. Oh, see, yes, we save lives now, too. So.
A contestant on X Factor got diagnosed with a serious lung disease after Simon Cowell and Sharon Osbourne pointed out a weird rasp in her voice.
Oh, wow.
That's interesting.
That's interesting.
I don't remember hearing about that.
No. Wow.
And this one is possibly the most fascinating one.
Okay.
There was a man who is accused of murder, but his appearance in a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode gave him an alibi. And they ended up catching the real killer and all that. Oh,
so he said, I couldn't possibly have done it. I was on a TV show.
He was an extra. If I got the story right, he was an extra on Curb Your Enthusiasm, and he was a well-placed extra. And that means, I don't expect you guys to know what that means. That means you're an upfront. That means you're up front.
You see your face and body and stuff. Yeah.
So he had that going for him, too. So he's like right there. There was a point where they almost had to bring in like Larry David and some of those people to like say that, yes, he was on set with
that
us.
That day.
That
kind of thing.
That's an interesting one.
Fascinating.
So that definitely did save a life. That's fascinating. You can find more of these at cracked.com. That's cracked.com. This is an interesting list.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that it saved me, but I do say that this hits close to home for many out there, and I know for me personally.
Okay.
I've told the story before. I'm 7 years old, and I realize at 7, 8 years old, you know, whatever that was, I believe it was 7, but that I'm not going to be my dad. I'm not going to be a boxer. I'm not going to be a hockey player. I this is not the world I'm in. I'm going to play sports, but I'm probably never going to be an athlete like my father. And it's the first time I remember what depression feels like and what it means to be sad. And we have an old school TV. It's black and white. It barely works. But we get two channels in, and one of them was playing Mork and Mindy. And I see Robin Williams, and this is the first time I remember seeing Mork and Mindy, and he made me laugh so hard. And I remember thinking, I'm sad. Why am I laughing? Like, I didn't know you could do that and everything. And that's what I want to do. That's what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. And yes, I was in, I had some gang experiences and I had a lot of, knucklehead things I did at a young age, but I would have been so much worse. There's literally no way I'm in this chair right now if that 7-year-old me doesn't see Rob Williams, doesn't fall in love with acting and doesn't have that in the back of my head my whole life. Yeah, this is cool, or yeah, I'm doing this right now to make ends meet, but this is the end game. The end game is to be that, to be able to do that for people, to be able to take them out of their head for a moment and give them a brief moment of bliss or happiness or to make them think or whatever it is that a great actor can do. That's what I want to do. And that saved me. That gave me a the North Star for me and the storm. That was always there for me, acting. That was always there that I could see it and stuff. And so it's not the same type of thing, but it is a little similar for me. Just from my perspective, that there's no way that I'm here without that.
Yeah, and it raises an interesting conversation. You hear so many times of people on popular shows getting fan mail from someone, you know, that I've heard it in like so many different, they say, I got this letter from a person who was feeling, you know, they were depressed, they were going through a rough time in their life, divorce, whatever, and your performance on this show helped me. It made me feel better, and it enough to actually write a letter to this person.
Right, right.
Which, I mean, I don't know who out there has ever written to an actor or a show or anything. I've never done it before, but people will do this, and how touching. You will hear it in the actor's voice. How they're like, wow, this is amazing. Who would have thought just doing a silly little show or something like that, that it would have touched someone. And it's really remarkable. And it happens all the time. So, yes, we make fun of TV shows and we do all these things. And, you know, we're just as bad as anyone else. But for some, there are times when it can be a helpful, it can be uplifting.
Two more for you that I thought were interesting. The Walking Dead, an advocate for the homeless, was camping outside of a Best Buy in Florida to bring attention to the issue. And he used what he had learned from the zombie show to help save a man who had been shot in the parking lot.
Oh, no. Really? Wow.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And we go to wrap up with, of course, The Simpsons. A 12-year-old from West Yorkshire was saved from choking on a sandwich by his best friend who had seen the Heimlich maneuver on The Simpsons. These cartoons are really saving lives.
Yeah, literally.
They're like a PSI in disguise or a PSA in disguise or something like that.
Oh my gosh.
It was always funny to me when you would learn things on like Sesame Street or Fraggle, mm-hmm. like how they were able to do. Oh, you got me that time, Sesame Street. You made me learn. Oh, you got me. New on your small screen this weekend, TV-wise, Friday on Amazon, the series premiere of Daisy Jones and the Six. It's about a new rock band in the 70s. Elvis's granddaughter, Riley Keo, is Daisy, and one of the bandmates is Sam Claflin from The Hunger Games.
Wow.
I haven't heard anything about that.
No, not a lick.
Nice, nice. The series premiere on MTV of the exhibit, Finding the Next Great Artist. On Saturday is a big one, the stand-up special Chris Rock Selective Outrage.
There you go.
That is going to be huge. I know I'm going to be trying to watch that if I can. Mm-hmm. Saturday night on NBC, Travis Kelce's hosting Saturday Night Live. Well, Kelce Bellinari is the music guest. Should be interesting.
So Kelce and Kelce, that's interesting.
Yeah, I didn't even catch that, yeah.
Travis Kelce, it's always kind of interesting when they put athletes on the show.
For years I kind of took it, it doesn't really, you know, we'll see. Michael Jordan was okay, you know, and that kind of stuff, but Peyton Manning changed the game. Peyton Manning's up there, I'm like, this is gonna flop, this is gonna be horrible, and then you all of a sudden he starts like doing, even in his opening monologue, like, wait a minute, because of the way he talks, he almost has perfect comedic timing. It's not even intentional. Mm-hmm. But he's also, he's the Peyton Manning that's an orchestrator. Like, he's a conductor, more of a conductor than a quarterback.
Yeah, right.
So actually, it's starting to add up. And all of a sudden, then you see his first sketch where he's, it's like a United Way sketch where he's, helping out kids. But he's, pelting them with the football and things like that. And, you see a side of Peyton Manning you didn't even know existed.
Yeah, right.
That really set the whole, ball rolling for him of where he is now.
Yeah, doing all these commercials and things. Boy, you're right, though. I mean, he's kind of the gold standard now for athletes that have to try to live up to that.
Which none of us saw coming.
No.
If you say you saw that coming, you're lying.
No.
You're lying. Because nobody, before Saturday Night Live, nobody saw that coming with Peyton Manning.
No, not at all.
And couldn't be happier being surprised. Because he's hilarious. He's very good at what he does.
He's very good timing.
American Idol auditions take place this Sunday at 7 on ABC. Yeah, I haven't really watched that in a very long time. I think I saw little bits of the first season, and that was about it. And Sunday at 8 o'clock, episode 8 of The Last of Us. This is the second to last episode. They're going to have 9 of these.
Okay.
Fascinating interview I saw over the weekend with Bella Ramsey and Pedro Pascal. Pedro Pascal having himself a day. Like that, with this and...
The Mandalorian and... Yeah.
He is one of those guys I look up to because he's another one of these guys that got his break in his, you know, later in life and everything.
Mm-hmm, yep.
And he's having a great conversation. Bella Ramsey's actually being interviewed, and she's talking about the influence he had on her and how, you know, this is her first big thing. She did Game of Thrones, but they spent a year filming this, like literally a year filming this and Last of Us.
For like a 9-episode TV show, that's a long period for filming.
Put a lot into it. Yeah. And it's paying off. They've already got renewed for a second season. A lot of people are saying this is this is HBO's new Sopranos, new Game of Thrones. And I don't think they're wrong. I think it could be. And it's very good. It's very well done. I don't get into zombie movie stuff very often or anything. This one pulled me in. It brought in a lot of science.
It's the secret of zombie movies. It's never about the zombies.
Yes.
If you want it to be good, it's not about the zombies.
And that's what they've done. They've done this really good.
From the very beginning, from Land of the Living Dead.
Yes.
Yeah, there's zombies, but it's not about the zombies.
Nope.
George Romero knew what he was doing.
George Romero's still the godfather of this. Still the godfather of horror.
Yep.
I think it's been really good, and I'm going to catch those last two episodes for sure, second to last, this Sunday at 8, or 9, I'm sorry, 9 o'clock on HBO. And then WWE Rivals, The Rock vs. John Cena, that is also on A&E. Weird, I didn't even know they had A&E wrestling on
Did
A&E.
Wrestling? Wow.
New on your big screen this weekend. A couple of big ones coming out. Operation Fortune is rated R. That stars Jason Statham, Hugh Grant, Audrey Plaza, Carrie Elwes.
Oh, Carrie. Carrie sighting.
Josh Hartnett's got a little role in it. This is a new Guy Ritchie movie.
He still has a career.
I think I'm one of the last people that likes Guy Ritchie. I think I am, but I still think he could do good work. I don't know, you know, I don't know for certain. Like he doesn't have. It used to be like after Snatch and some of those Lock, Stock and Barrel. Like, oh, if it's a Guy Ritchie movie, I'll see it. Now I don't.
It's not so much that I think he's a bad director because I don't. I think it's just because he had so many flops.
Yeah,
that is the rough. That's like, wow, they're still hiring him because he's had a rough time of it lately.
Creed 3 is the big one coming out this weekend. Michael B. Jordan is taking up the role of the series that Sylvester Stallone got rolling. Jonathan Majors joins the cast in this one as his childhood friend. The shape that these two got in is insane.
Scary. Scary.
The only person maybe having, and it's debatable, having a bigger moment in the sun right now than Pedro Pascal is Jonathan Majors.
Oh, 100%.
And couldn't happen to two better actors, two better people. Yep. You'll see Jonathan Majors with a cup. He's always got a cup with him. Sometimes it's a different one, but it's always this little cup. And Stephen Colbert, being the great interviewer that he is, it was the first person to finally ask him what's with the cup.
Mm-hmm.
And Jonathan Majors, when he started told his parents he wanted to be an actor and started doing things, his mother was a preacher. And she was very worried about his soul, very worried about him.
So you know, going into acting, we know what that's like.
She was worried about people putting things in his drink and stuff. No. So she gives him this cup, and she's like, baby, you take this cup with you everywhere. You only drink out of this cup. So he keeps it still, not so much for those reasons, but for the metaphor of it for him of only I can put in and put into my cup.
Oh, wow.
Nobody can take away from me my confidence, my pride, or my my faith in myself, or my faith in the world, or any of these things. Nobody can take that from me. I have to let them take that away. But I can put into. I can, and so this cup represents so much more for him now. Like, that's the kind of guy that people are hiring. That's the kind of guy that deserves these breaks.
Well, and you can see it, you know, I've become a friend of James Maloff, and now all I do is look at performances. Thanks a lot, by the way. Enjoy the show.
I don't know how many times I can apologize for this. I'm sorry.
Anyway, but there's something about actors with confidence. And right now, Jonathan Majors has all the confidence in the world, and it comes off. on his performances, you can tell, which is cool. It's really neat to see.
Yeah. And again, very deserving.
Yeah,
very
for sure.
Earned every bit of it. Much like our River Kings earned every little bit of this playoff run they're about to take.
Yeah.
We don't, nothing is guaranteed in the playoffs. And if you don't know hockey playoffs, let me tell you, you have no idea. Number one seeds mean nothing. Nope. It's all just momentum and, hey, who has got it that night?
Mm-hmm.
And especially in a best of three series, which is what our River Kings are walking into, and it kicks off tonight. 7 o'clock over at the Southwood County Rec Center. Let's show them what home ice advantage is as the River Kings take on who are they taking on again? I had this all lined up and I just drew a complete blank. Like,
that's okay. Their websites aren't necessarily the best for getting quick information either. I have figured out over the season here.
I can tell you, you can go to the RiverKingsHockey.com to find out more information, to get tickets. And it doesn't matter who they're playing. And honestly,
it doesn't.
We're going to fill up that arena. Yep. We're going to show them what home ice advantage is. We're going to definitely, because I want to say they're playing Steele County, but I'm not sure, so I don't want to say for sure.
I know they played them last weekend, but I think there might have been doubling up on that. So I'm not sure. Yeah. But anyway, it'll be fun either way.
Either way, let's fill the Southwood County Rec Center. There is three games scheduled. Of course, it could be a best of three, but let's hope it's two. Let's hope it's two.
Friday, wrap it up quick.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Sunday game, if necessary. All these games will take place at 7. And again, all taking place right here in Wisconsin Rapids, Southwood County Rec Center. No matter what happens, an amazing season from the River
Wonderful.
Kings.
I have to say, I have been so impressed with Coach Peckman coming in here, new guy, new role, and he has just done a bang up job, fabulous job that he's done.
We're so darn spoiled and fortunate in this area where we go from a great GM and head coach like Marty Quarters, who did a fantastic job in this area for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. Marty's got some legendary status in this area with what he did with the River Kings and everything, and we have not missed a beat.
Nope.
You got a new GM, new head coach, and haven't missed a beat. Like, and I'm not just talking about wins and losses. I mean, scouting wise, I mean, by the way that these kids are interacting with the community and helping with the community. And, you know, there's a disaster. The River King kids show up. Like, raking, the kids show up.
Yep.
Snow shoveling, they show up.
If I have to I say one of the best things that I've heard from Coach Peckman, he's interested in winning. He wants to get good players here, but what he's teaching these kids, I mean, that's like first and foremost in his mind. He wants these kids to learn, and he's great at it. He's a great teacher.
Also wanted to mention, of course, that we are proud and thankful to have had River Kings Hockey on our sister station WIRI all season. Here's hoping we could do it again next year.
Yeah.
We loved having that. I've been wanting hockey on the radio for a decade here. And as long as we've had River Kings, I've wanted them to be on the air with us.
Mm-hmm.
They should be.
100%.
We are Wisconsin Rapids. We are Central Wisconsin more than any other radio station. And I will take on anybody when it comes to that. We've got 80-plus years to back us up, everybody.
That's right.
We got the best listeners in radio. I will stand by that. To me, they should be with us. It's just like the Rafters should be.
Yeah.
This is 100%. Where they're home.
They
this
belong.
Is home for them. And we're looking forward to having more River Kings hockey for you. And keep on rolling, guys. Keep on building hockey up and down the river. Support your Kings as they go into the playoffs tonight over at the Southwood County Rec Center. And again, you can get tickets and find out more information at RiverKingsHockey.com. Mentioned earlier, the 53rd Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association State Gymnastics Championship taking place today and Saturday at Wisconsin Rapids Lincoln High School, right here in Rapids.
Mm-hmm.
The team championships in Division 1 and 2 will begin at noon, and the individual championship will begin at 10 a.m.
Very cool.
Ticket prices and more information are at GoFan.com. That's GoFan.com. Right here at our station, of course, we got great stuff on our radio dial tonight at 5:30. It's a puck night. Wisconsin men's hockey taking on Michigan in the Big Ten tournament.
And they've had a rough year. The Badgers have had a rough year this year. So maybe they can do a little bit in the tournament here.
You never know.
Yep.
And Assumption boys basketball tonight at 6:55. Our pregame will kick off at 6:55 as the Assumption boys take on Newman Catholic. Have a great game, Randy and Don.
Yes.
We will continue to carry the hockey at 5:30 on WFHR, Wisconsin men's hockey versus Michigan. Sorry about that, everybody. I was trying to read ahead. And on WIRI, tonight at 12:30, Marquette men's basketball versus St. John's.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about all of this on Playmakers on Monday. Shout out to Quality Plus Printing, sponsoring Playmakers.
Yes, indeed.
Be sure to join us from 10 to 11, where we take your sports phone calls and your sports feelings. Call up and join the conversation. Get in the game on Playmakers every Monday from 10 to 11.
All right.
This weekend, great stuff. Of course, you got the Sunshine Polka Show going on this weekend.
Yes, indeed. Starts at 7 on Saturday. But then, if you miss it, Sunday at 1.
Yes.
So there's two chances to hear Tim's great show.
Yeah.
So we love that show. Want to keep it going. So yes. Tune in, everybody.
And a shout out to Tim and the fantastic work that he does on that
Indeed.
Show. Indeed. Seth Faces the Music from 6 to 8.
Except not this week.
Yeah.
We've got the preemption. The Badgers are, you know, playing a basketball game or some such thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Telling you.
We got Wisconsin men's basketball kicking off at 5:30 as they are at Minnesota. Big mm-hmm. one right there.
Yeah.
So with that being said, there will be no Seth Faces the Music and no director's cut.
That is correct. And we know how sad you are, but stay tuned next week because there'll be more coming. Don't worry. We got lots of great stuff lined up.
Boy, do we got some great stuff lined up.
We do.
We have some great guests coming up for you and everything, everybody. And, you know, the shows will be back. Seth back with his themes. And, of course, mm-hmm. we'll be back with that. But maybe you missed some Director's Cut episodes or any. You know, you missed Alex Walton on with us or Chase Quinches.
Yep.
Both incredible guests, our last two guests that we had on.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, if you haven't caught it, go to civicmedia.us. Look under our programs and you can find the podcasts.
Yep.
And go ahead and take a listen to them.
Yeah.
You can also find them on Spotify and Apple.
Mm-hmm.
We're also streaming on those as well.
Yep.
Spread the word about that, everybody. Make sure that there is no way you cannot get WFHR in your life if you don't want it.
And a quick note here, if you're looking for like your Alexa app, your Echo, just say locally grown radio. And it will pop up.
Really?
Yes.
How dang cool is that?
That is really cool.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's an early good story of the day. That's good.
Just say locally grown radio, and she will pull it up for you.
How about that? That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR. Seth and James with you. And just touching on a little bit of science news, and then also is a sneaky that ain't right story.
Okay.
In long-distance dating news, a $40 kissing device out of China went viral this week.
Oh, no.
It attaches to your phone and lets you kiss people remotely by making out with a set of rubber lips. A similar gadget made the rounds in 2016, and it did not do well. And I don't see how this one will either.
How is this going to be any better?
I also think people will misuse this. I'm not going to get into how or why. Can use your imaginations on that one.
You think people will misuse scientific things?
Right.
What?
Whatever they were thinking with this, no. It's a bad scientist. Bad. Bad scientist.
It probably sounded like a good idea at the time.
Yeah.
It probably, you know, three bottles in. And it's
what we
should invent?
Yes.
We should invent a kissing thing for long distance kissing.
Like if it's 2-3 in the morning and you're sitting there with your buddy and you guys have had a couple or something like that, you come up like, I'm not going to, like, that's fine. It's an interesting idea. And at that point, sure, it seems very good. But this is one of those things where it seems like that all happened, but these are people that actually do create stuff.
Thinks, yes.
So they like got going and everything. They wake up in the morning. Oh, my head is killing me. What do we do last night? What is this? Oh, dear God, no. Oh, well, we can't let anybody see this. Oh, wait a minute. What? We put how much money into this?
Oh, we got to release it now.
Get it out there. Yeah. Get it out there. I don't know. Long distance kissing or something. I don't know. Let's try to get a couple bucks off of it. God, I'm never drinking again.
Yeah, I love the idea of them doing it one night, too.
Yeah.
Just pulling all nighters. Like, what did we do? Man, what did we do last night? Oh,
I didn't think about that. Yes. Oh, that ain't right.
That ain't right.
I've been in a lot of long distance relationships. No,
that would make it worse.
That make it a lot worse.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's the same argument I have as far as like with strip clubs and everything. Like to me, if you're lonely, that's the last place you want to go.
Why would you go there?
The one thing you can't do is take care of your loneliness. Like I mean, no, it doesn't make any sense to me. I don't get it. Here's one more for you. Would it be nice to have an extra set of hands to help around the house? Researchers at Cambridge think it might actually be possible. Literally, a second set of robotic arms attached to your body that you control. They've already got a prototype for a second thumb that attaches to your hand.
Oh.
600 people tried it, and 98% were able to use it within the first minute. However, within it, with something like that, the extra thumb, you run into the Indigo Montoya chasing you and wanting to kill you because he's looking for the six-finger
man. Yeah, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You don't want to run into that. No, that guy's relentless. He is not going to stop. Trust me. So other than that, maybe helpful. The second thumb thing, I don't know about that.
That sounds both looking weird. It would look very strange.
My hands are big enough to where it seems like I have an extra
like an
digit.
Extra finger, yeah.
And it's not that helpful, trust me. I mean, I can palm a basketball and things, but I mean...
But how much does that come into use? I mean, really, how much do you use that? Really?
Probably haven't done that in a good year or two.
And I'm sorry, guys. Have we learned nothing? Nothing from comic books. You have extra arms, Dr. Octopus.
Yes.
It's going to be Dr. Octopus. It's going to happen. Okay?
Got to be Doc Ock. Yep.
Arms are going to be they're going to get their own sentience and they're going to start doing things you don't want them to do.
Yes.
Like trying to take over the world. So come on.
It happens to the best. You know, Doc Ock, good guy.
Yeah.
But,
he
tried. Took him out too. The arms took over. The arms, that kind of thing. It's funny. I'm glad you brought up cartoons too, because this reminds me of cartoons. Like, it could be worse. You could have four fingers. Most cartoon characters have four digits.
That's true, because it's hard to draw five.
Yep.
It's a lot easier to draw four.
I've heard also from like old Hanna-Barbera illustrators. Yep. It was faster and cheaper.
Oh,
and
I'm sure it was.
That
was
another reason, too, for it. It's kind of funny that that's where a lot of that stems from.
I just realized I've never noticed how many fingers Scooby and the gang have.
Huh.
I'm going to have to check that out. Do they have five or do they have four?
We'll check that out.
Or did they just not show their hands?
Oh, I don't know. Well, we're going to check that out. We're going to find out for you.
Hard-hitting investigative reporting here.
But actual real news coming up right now. Seth and I will have the other stuff later. For you right now, here's Melissa's news on WFHR Locally Grown Radio. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings here at WFHR. Back in black.
Mm-hmm.
Hope you're having a good start to your Friday out there. Thanks a lot for kicking it off with us, everybody. 9:37 on the clock. Seth and James here with you. And an interesting one, sort of a that ain't right story.
Okay.
Professions that are marriage deal breakers.
Ooh, okay.
If you never became the lawyer that your mother wanted you to, sorry, Mom. I've played an attorney like four times in my career. I'll say that. I mean, at least I've done that.
So bitter.
People on social media are talking about professions that are marriage deal breakers. And a lot of people are mentioning attorneys, especially divorce lawyers, which makes some sense.
Okay.
Other highlights include people with mid-level marketing businesses.
Oh, boy.
But one person says MLM isn't a profession. It's a business cost. It's business cosplay. It's high on the list because a lot of people just end up losing a lot of money and time.
I love business cosplay.
That's fantastic.
That's perfect to
that
describe
is perfect.
It.
Yeah.
Which is, and also nicer than saying total scam. Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yes. That's the person that was trying that still believes in crypto. Like that's the person who's hanging on to that hill and is going to
die right there
and be broke.
Yeah.
On that hill. Yeah. Celebrities. That's another one on the list. Number two.
Mm-hmm.
Stand-up comedians.
That one I can totally understand for a couple of reasons. First, on the road. All the time on the road. And I've heard a couple of comedians refer to the reason that you see so many comedians, that live, not great lifestyles, lots of drugs, drinking, possible, suicide coming up, is because they have to be so honest with themselves about their foibles and everything. That's a hard thing to have to live with.
Mm-hmm.
And because you're using it for your act. And that, I mean, I can't imagine living with someone who has to be that way. That's got to be tough.
Politicians came in at number four.
Obvious reasons, I guess. Yeah.
Number five, restaurant owners, because they're so busy and on all nights and weekends.
Yeah.
The family oftentimes will work at the restaurant.
Not an easy job.
A lot of these are certainly, I think there's a low-hanging fruit that you can look at, and I think there's also the stuff that you were touching on, the personal all those personal conversations, all those things that come up that you got to, you know, you when you have a significant other, it isn't just your work and your life, you're taking on theirs as well, because you are psychologists for each other.
Yeah.
You should be, at least. You should be each other's best friend. You should be able to vent to each other and all that, but that can add up after a while. Speaking of psychics at number six. Okay, wait a minute.
What? Yeah. Profession? What?
Number seven, social media influencers. Okay.
Someday that's going to be number one, I think. But
But then it gets a little bit tougher and a little bit more, you know, personal, I think, for many of us. Active duty soldiers.
Ooh.
One person noted that sleepless nights spent worrying, but there's also the emotional baggage of experiences, good and bad, that the other person wasn't able to be there for.
And that's huge. Absolutely huge.
Yeah.
That's why it's super tough.
Teachers. Or anyone whose job encroaches a lot of their personal time.
Exactly.
Some say it can also be a positive when both people are teachers because they can have the same time off and they can relate on a lot of things.
And that there's something to be said for that, for sure.
It's part of the reason why you see a lot of actors marrying actors.
Yeah.
They understand the work schedule. They understand a lot of the lifestyle and all that. And you see that with a lot of professions, not just those two, but other ones too. Truck drivers came in at number 10. One of the more thankless jobs that we have in the world, and we should be all thanking our truckers every day.
Yeah.
If we didn't learn that from the pandemic, I don't know what, then you weren't paying attention.
Yeah.
You didn't learn anything from it, because that's one of the bigger things we should have learned from it, is that, man, do we need our truckers.
Well, if you look, say you're driving down the highway and you see a truck, and of course, you know, they all have like advertising on the back and all these things, and you'll see, you know, like looking for drivers, call this number.
Yes.
And one of the things they always put on there, home every night.
Yeah.
And it's because of the rough, because you're always away. It's another one of those jobs where you're not there.
Anyone doing intense shift work. That can be difficult.
Especially if it's like like middle of the night kind of stuff. That always makes it hard.
I had a girl break up with me because I worked too much. And it was when I was doing a job. It was long before radio.
Mm-hmm.
And it was where I just didn't say no. And I always work a second shift or something like that. And it would never fail. You'd have plans. And then, I got to work a second shift. And just didn't go well.
No.
She ended up like breaking up with me. But like by doing it by, this is the early days of ghosting when we still had landlines. And like I called up and like her mom answered. She did not live with her mother, and her mom answered the phone. They're like, okay, all right,
okay, well, all right.
Even I see that sign. Even I can see that one. Number 12, law enforcement officers. You know, we talked about it this week with our sheriff's department and everything. When you are married to somebody in that world, you're taking on almost as much, if not just as much, as they are, because of all the stuff that you are listening. You're sitting at home wondering if they're going to come home.
Yep.
You, when they do get home, you're listening and hearing out a lot of the conversations, a lot of the things that they have been through. I have just as much respect for people that do law enforcement and do it right as the people that are married to people in that field.
My brother-in-law is a police officer, and my sister, he works third shift, which is actually somewhat by choice, because it actually works out better for their home schedule. He does, he wouldn't mind doing the day shift, but second shift is horrible, you know, because it's the afternoon and you'd miss everything on that one. So he doesn't mind doing the third shift, but it's rough. It can get tough, you know, when you want to do things and he gets, you know, a weird schedule, 6 days on, 3 days off, and something he's got to work overtime. Yeah. It can be really a real struggle.
And this is part of why we take these moments to thank the people that are doing the job right and appreciate them so very much. And finally, a professional tennis player, because love means nothing to them. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Good night. Tip your waitresses.
Please do tip your waiters, bartenders. The 7 o'clock show, not the same as the 10 o'clock show. Just keep that in mind. We will take a break. That was horrible. That was god awful. I am so sorry.
And
I
yet
apologize.
I'm laughing. It worked.
Because you're a great teammate.
Yes, sir. I'm Ed McMahon. Yes.
obviously, I can't see the audience or anything. I could feel the groan and the eye rolling rolls, of eyes.
Yeah.
I could feel it. We'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll have some more fun on the morning show at WFHR. Thanks a lot, Jennifer. We appreciate the updates all morning long. Thank you to all of you for joining us all morning long. 9:48 on the clock. Seth and James going to take it to the top of the hour to wrap up the show, wrap up the week.
Yep, if we still have listeners after that last one.
Yeah, after that last joke. Yeah, I don't blame you if you guys left. But thank you for sticking around.
Yeah.
Especially because we got good stuff coming up. Morning Magazine going to be on in just about 10, 15 minutes or so, somewhere in between there. We will kick it off after CBS News. Wisconsin State Representative Scott Krug joining us in part one at 10:05. And then at 10:30, we're going to have Sandy, Jim, and Randy all joining us from Grace Lutheran Church's Grace Players. They got their theater community event coming up.
Very cool.
And talk about that with them today.
Yeah.
Right now, some That Ain't Right stories before we get to the good stuff. Sometimes it's fascinating to get inside the mind of a criminal and try to figure out why they did what they do. A 34-year-old fugitive in Florida named Wyatt Guy. I don't always say their full name, but that's just a name.
Right? You have to do that one.
And if somebody told me the story involving a Wyatt Guy, it's Florida. And I'm not trying to stereotype. Good morning to our friends in Miami and Tampa.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
After he drew attention to himself by sending literal smoke signals to the authorities.
Huh?
Wyatt was doing yard, quote-unquote, yard work on Monday afternoon.
Okay.
He had gotten a notice from code enforcement saying that he'd have to clean up his property. He set up a small fire in a pit to burn some junk, but it got out of hand.
Oh.
The fire jumped to a boat on his property and then to his house, which became engulfed in flames. The police and fire department showed up, and that's when Wyatt ran into the house to avoid them.
Huh?
He was wanted for violating his probations on several felony charges, including burglary, and didn't want to be taken to jail. He locked himself inside his burning house for 10 minutes.
No.
He then ran out, was caught, and tried to lie his way out of trouble. He claiming that his name was Dylan and that he wasn't running from the cops. He was just trying to save his dogs, but they didn't buy it. He was arrested. He also didn't have any dogs with him.
Okay. So many questions. Okay, so many questions. My first one, Dylan? That's your fake name is Dylan?
Dylan. Where'd that come from? Like, why, you know, they'll never believe this. Like, what was that about?
I got to pick up a more common name than Wyatt. Dylan.
If you're going to say you were saving the dogs, have at least a dog with you or something like that, man. Like, I mean, otherwise they're just going to go, not that they're not going to send you back in, but I mean, they're going to go in there and check it out.
And apparently the burning house is more safe than the police. Come on now. I want to be nice here. Obviously, he panicked. Okay.
Yeah.
He was freaking out and he did something stupid by going into a burning building.
Yeah.
So, oh man.
I think that the Ain't Right part starts way in the beginning of this too. Like, he's got these ordinances or whatever. He's got to clean up his property. So
yeah.
your first thought is to burn it?
Yeah.
Like that's your first thought?
This is almost like a real life National Lampoon.
Yeah.
Movie,
yeah.
You know, section of a movie
it's
that like something
Uncle
like this would
Eddie
happen.
Would do from National Lampoons or something like that. Yeah. Because
it's like one thing after another.
Just yes.
Oh.
I feel for the officers and the firefighters that had to take care of that and everything.
Yeah.
I hope that they had at least a moment, like an hour or two after all this.
Just to reflect.
They're sitting there filling out their paperwork and, oh, my sergeant's never going to believe this. I'm bringing up the test cam footage just so, like, look, man, this is what really happened. Like, I'm not making this up. Like, no way. Dylan? He said Dylan. Like, no, really, you can hear him say it. Dylan on the camera.
I can see totally TV moment where. Yeah, his sergeant comes in. What's this? What are you doing here? Yes. What's this mess?
It really happened.
Sorry,
Sarge,
it happened.
This is really what happened. I know Starbucks is expensive, even though it's been years since I've been to a Starbucks. I know they're expensive, but I didn't know they were this expensive. A guy in Tulsa named Jesse Odell went to Starbucks last month and got his normal order, an iced Americano and a caramel frappuccino for his wife. Normally, it's around $10. But then his wife went to pay for something at his store a few days later, and her card got declined. So she checked her bank account and realized Starbucks had charged Jesse almost $4,500. They eventually got a copy of the receipt and figured out what happened. A manager said the number 4 on the credit card machine they used was sticky, so it accidentally tacked on a tip of $4,444.44. You'd think that reversing the charge wouldn't be a big deal, but it was.
Really?
Jesse bought the coffee on January 7th, and they are still dealing with this.
What?
For some reason, Starbucks decided to send them 2 separate checks in the mail, and when they tried to cash them, both checks bounced. Imagine getting a check from Starbucks and it bounces.
Wow, okay.
Obviously, $4,000 is a lot of money,
yeah.
And not having access to that cash has been a huge headache.
No kidding.
Jesse's wife, Didi, is originally from Thailand and hasn't seen her sisters in 17 years. She and Jesse were supposed to fly there January 27th, but had to cancel the trip.
Oh, no.
All because of this sticky button. Starbucks says 2 new checks are on the way, but last we heard, they still hadn't gotten them. And this better not be all. I'm not always in favor of businesses going way out of their way to take care of a consumer. I think that you should be an adult about being a consumer and understand that accidents happen.
Mm-hmm.
You got your order wrong, go back, get the order right.
Yeah.
You've made mistakes as a human being. You want people to give you grace, give them some grace.
Absolutely.
Then there's this from one of the biggest conglomerates in the world. Like Starbucks, yeah. Step up.
Please.
You made your backs on the people. Like, not only the wages that you paid your people, but mm-hmm. the charging $90 for a cup yeah. of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Act right. Do right.
There's a reason why all your workers are unionizing.
Yeah, yeah.
There's like, get the drift. Now, you're 100% right on this. Yes, not only should they pay them the money back, they should get them tickets to Thailand, they should do a few other things. I mean, Starbucks, I mean, they already, in a lot of ways, don't have the greatest, you know,
no.
anymore. They don't have that sheen that they once did.
No.
If they're going to, they got to do something about this or it's going to look really bad.
Their numbers have been going down.
Yeah.
Their public perception has gone down quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't going to help it, but it's a great, if you're smart at your job, here's a great, you could actually turn this negative into a positive.
Positive.
And all the things Seth was just saying, buy them the tickets to Thailand, do
yep.
all these different things. I don't care if it's above and beyond. The PR that you will get from this would outdo a lot of the bad PR you've had.
Which, and this is only making it worse. Come on.
Instead of trying to come up with a new pumpkin spice thing or something like that, like put some of the money and effort into something like that. And you know,
yeah.
the whole paying your employees.
Employees,
right,
you know, a livable wage. Right, that helps.
Yeah. We go to some good stories of the day now. An Army dad who's been overseas for 2 years surprised his kids' school in Virginia, last week. This one always gets me. These mm-hmm. stories always get me. I'm sorry. The local news was there to get it on video. His daughter's older and was thrilled when he showed up with flowers. His son is younger and he broke down and sat down next to him at lunch.
Aww.
And these videos never get old.
No.
Like, especially if you're, I spend my morning going through all the bigger news stories.
Right.
And it can be a little daunting and pretty heavy sometimes. So I like to have these palate cleanser before I jump on the air because
yeah.
you guys don't want me grumpy. You can't do this job grumpy.
No.
Nobody's going to listen to that morning show.
Right.
So these palate cleansers, sometimes I'll go to like these different sets of animal friends,
mm-hmm.
like a bear and a tiger that are friends and these videos that exist. They're
very
just
nice,
entertaining
sweet, yeah.
to me. The other thing I go to is these videos of the soldiers showing up and surprising their kids and stuff. It never gets old.
No, it never gets old. And it's one of those things that anyone can relate to. You can put yourself in either the kid's shoes, the parent's shoes. You know, 2 years.
Yeah.
2 years. Oh, that's a great story.
I never thought of it before, but coming from a bit of a military family, I always mm-hmm. thought that's part of the reason why those hit me, and I'm a human being.
Well, you're a human being.
But being away from yep. my mom and dad for 2 years and not seeing them for 2 years, I never even thought about this
yep.
before. But I wonder if that's part of the reason why this gets me so emotional and everything.
Totally
I don't know.
Think
I
that's
never
part
even
of
thought
it,
about
man.
That. Wow.
Totally think.
Interesting.
We've had a breakthrough this morning. Breakthrough.
Oh, I just had an epiphany. Seth, take over the rest of the show. Last month, a woman who owns a farm near Toronto struck up a conversation with a homeless guy named Brian Bannister, who's 60 years old. He's had a tough life, lost two wives, one in a car crash, the other to cancer. So he told her he'd sort of just given up on life, but now things are looking up. She offered him a job at her farm, and he took her up on it. She also got him his first haircut in 2 years, gave him a phone, started a GoFundMe that's raised over $8,000 to get him back on his feet. He got emotional talking about it and said he can't believe anyone would care about him so much.
Oh, wow.
You just never know what the impact you can have.
You never know the impact. Just a simple conversation. That's how it started.
That's beautiful.
That's wonderful.
That is definitely going to be one of our best good stories of the day ever do.
Let's save that one.
Yep, yep, we're saving that one. And, of course, there's a lot of other great stuff going on this weekend, events-wise. We encourage you to check them out. And, man, if you can support your River Kings, now's the weekend to do it.
Do it now.
River Kings are start kicking off their playoffs tonight. The puck drops at 7, and that is the kickoff of the playoffs for us in this USPHL Premier Junior A Hockey League. Mm-hmm. We're rooting for our Kings to keep on going and going. No matter what happens, though, we appreciate the River Kings, these kids, all these families that brought their kid, you know, let this town adopt these kids for a while and everything. A big thank you to the host families that do such amazing work hosting and having these kids in.
Yeah.
Obviously, to coach and GM Peckman and his staff. What a season. I mean, just a great season. We had hockey on the radio this year, guys.
We did.
This has been great.
It's been wonderful.
Whatever happens, it's all icing on the cake.
Yep.
And I guess there's a little bit of a pun there I didn't realize.
Yes, very, very good.
I didn't mean to do
Got to end the show right on cue, man.
I didn't mean – I wanted to end on a good note and not on a bad joke. Dang it. Don't. But that's going on. We're really excited. Please support your River Kings as they build hockey up and down the river.
Yep.
You can get tickets at riverkingshockey.com. Otherwise, I believe you can get them right there at the Southland County Rec Center. Mm-hmm. Games Friday and Saturday, and if needed, on Sunday, all of them at 7. Seth, great show. Be sure to join Seth for Over the Back Fence tomorrow.
Have a great weekend, everyone.
Have a good one. We'll talk to you soon and later right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.